welcome to the Meaningful Business Podcast with me, Jo Casey, the place for coaches, healers, consultants, and other service-based folks so you can learn how to build a sustainable, meaningful business without having to resort to the dark arts or sleazy marketing techniques. So excited to introduce my guest today. It is Michelle Mazur, which is pronounced Mazur like laser, which I just think is just such a fabulous way to remember how to pronounce her name. And she is, well, I'm going to let her introduce herself because she does something that I think so many entrepreneurs and meaningful business owners either want to get into or are terrified of getting into. And now that I've built it up like that, I'm going to hand it over to you. Hi, Michelle. I'm so happy to be talking to you today.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. So I'm Michelle Mazur. I'm the CEO and founder of Communication Rebel and also the host of the Rebel Speaker podcast. And my company was founded on the belief that communication changes the world. So that's what I help speakers do. I help speakers craft their message of change, which I call a three-word rebellion, and write a speech around it, write their marketing, do their pricing, and really profit through impact. So I've been doing this work for about 6 years now, and it's so much fun. And I love working with people's messages.
Oh, that is fantastic. And the reason I kind of introduced you that way is because I'm somebody who loves speaking. I mean, I love it. I love having a podcast. I love being at the front of a workshop room. I love being on the stage. But I also know that for a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of business owners, it kind of terrifies them. Or they think it's this mystical thing that there is a secret to. And that, you know, if somebody just sprinkles them with a bit of kind of magic dust, then they will suddenly be this amazing speaker. You know, there's so much kind of baggage around it. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted to kind of start exploring the idea of, you know, that communicate with impact and how we do that and the different ways that we can do that and how as meaningful business owners, that can really be a boon to us. That can really be a kind of a useful kind of tool in our
role. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, since I really work with the messaging side of things, mm-hmm. I feel like that's where speakers and business owners struggle the most. Like, how do you encapsulate what you do in a few words so mm-hmm. that it is memorable to your audience? And not just memorable, it makes them take action. Because at the end of it, I think what speaking does exceptionally well is it ties like you to what you do so that when people think about what you do, they think of you, which is ultimately what we want, right? Is to have that kind of name recognition with what we do. And it just takes the right message. And what I found is it's really difficult to find that on your own. Like, otherwise it's like you're all up in your head and it never comes out. It always is somebody pointing something out like, oh, you say that all the time. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. It's like we're too close to it, I think, ourselves. It's mm-hmm. like, so one of the analogies, what am I doing there with my, pulling my headphones out of his door. So one of the analogies that I have for coaching, because I work with a lot of coaches. And so, you know, when you go to the hairdressers or the hair salon, mm-hmm. And you've had your hair done and they hold that mirror up at the back of your head at that certain angle. And it's the only time you see the back of your own head. And
yes.
So I think like the work that you do, the work that a lot of kind of coaches do, it's like you help to hold the mirror up to people so you can show them the whole thing in the round.
Yes.
You know, this is what you do because you're able to have that bit of distance. But also, it's kind of, you're your thing, your superpower as well, helping people to do this, you know?
Yeah, I think it is, you know, being able to listen and being curious and asking the right questions. And I also hold this space for the audience, because one of the things I always do with my clients is this big deep dive into like who their audience is, what are their challenges, what's their resistance. And for me, when I'm able to like hold in my head what the audience needs and listen through that lens, it becomes a lot easier for me to point out like, oh, what you said right there, that was amazing. And we should do something with it. Oh. And I think as a speaker or a business owner, it's hard to do that for yourself, because I can't do it for me. I can do it for everyone else, but I can't do it for myself. So I know that frustration of not being able to find the right words to describe what you create for people.
Yeah. It's like you're the translator. It's like you're helping mm-hmm. them to translate what is the big thing, all of the different facets of their services and their business and the transformations that they help to facilitate. And you help them to translate that into something that people can get quickly and understand, oh, that's what you do.
Yes, 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 yes. And especially with speaking, it's about not putting everything you know in one speech. Like that's always an issue with business owners. It's like, I want to put everything I know because I want to give. Or sometimes it comes out of that insecurity. It's like, I have to prove myself on stage. Mm. But really it's like, no, you want to give like one transformation, one result that leads people in deeper into your work.
That's such a good point. That's such a good point. Yeah, because I was talking to somebody today who said, I find it really hard because what I do, there's so many parts to it. And so trying to explain that to someone in a conversation, I was like, oh. Maybe not try and explain all of it. Maybe, you know, could there be just a like, what's the kind of key piece that they can take away, that kind of key tangible?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So you say that you've been doing this work for about 6 years. So what were you doing before and why get into this work? how did that happen?
So my story is kind of interesting because really I've been working with speakers for about 25 years, but my iteration of this business is about 6 years old, so going on 6.5 years old. And so I have always been fascinated with communication from like when I was about 14, 15 years old. I took a speech class in high school and I was terrible, but there was this voice in my head that was like, this is really important and you should learn it. Like you should master this skill. It is important for you. And so that's what I ended up doing. Like I joined the speech and debate team and lost every single weekend because I was terrible. But I learned a lot by all of that failure. And eventually I got much, much better. And it led me all the way to a PhD in communication. I ended up being a professor for about 5 years and then didn't like being a professor for a whole host of reasons. And so as I was leaving academia, I thought, ooh, well, maybe I'll start a business. And I was like, nope, that scares me. Especially after being a professor, because you have so much freedom and you get a paycheck every 2 weeks. Like it's kind of a lovely deal. And so I went into corporate. I decided I have great research skills, nothing to do with communication. I went into market research, which is a whole other story, which why that was a bad decision. But eventually I was like challenged by a friend of mine to start a blog. And then the blog became the business that it is today. And that has been my journey. So now, you know, this business is my life. This is my, you know, like what I should be doing with my life.
It's like your, this is your work in the world. It's like the thing you're meant to do. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I hear that. Do you mind if I kind of dip back a bit? Because I'm fascinated by the girl who did the speech and debate team and was terrible, or perceived herself as terrible, and then kept kept going. That shows such resilience at such a young age.
Yeah, it was, you know, I look back on that and I find it really interesting because most people would have given up because this was like in high school, it was like every Saturday morning, you got up at 6 a.m., you traveled to a different school, you competed till about 10 o'clock at night. You usually didn't get home till midnight. And I would go to these tournaments and I would lose like every time. But I was just persistent. I was like, no, I'm going to get better at this. And the way that I get better is going out there, competing, getting all the feedback and reading that and trying it on. And I think that made me very open to receiving feedback and trying the feedback out. And eventually, so by the end of my year on the speech and debate team in high school, like the very last tournament, something clicked. You know, you have that moment where things click. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is actually, I'm doing really well right now. Like I am killing it. And it was the end of the day and I still didn't end up placing. And I was so bummed. And my coach met me at the bus and he was just beaming like an idiot. Like he was so happy. And he's like, you got honorable mention. And it was such a huge deal because it took an entire year for me to get to that point. But I think it was just making progress over time and being committed, like, you know, really knowing that this is important for me to do. And so I'm going to spend the time in the woodshed just doing it no matter how much I'm not getting any like accolades or rewards from it.
But I'm fascinated by this. So were you enjoying it as you were doing it?
I think I was. So yes, I would say I definitely was because there was a lot of, so speech and debate people are a little weird. So there's a lot of like geeks. There were a lot of people who I felt like were like me. And we also had this experience of peer coaching. So it didn't matter how good I was. I could be coaching our top performer on the team because our coach's philosophy is like, that's how you learn. Like you go and you help the person who's winning first place every week get better. And then you'll start seeing ways to improve. And so I love that kind of camaraderie that even though like I was on the bottom rung of the team, that the person who was winning every single week, she would actually like listen to my suggestions and be like, oh, wow, I've never thought about that. That's a really good point. Maybe I'll try it. So that was kind of the cool experience that it was social and I met some really cool people, some people that I'm still friends with. And I think that's what made me keep going and pursuing it. And I think there was a little bit of, I really enjoyed it, even though I wasn't great. Like, I don't know how, like, I look back on that now. It's so funny that we're talking about that. Cause I'm like, that is so weird. Like, I didn't care that I was losing every weekend. Like, but it was, for me, it was really about that process of learning and getting better and trying again.
I love that for so many reasons. I think that there is something beautiful in that doing the thing for the love of the thing, rather than that external validation. And I think also that learning that lesson early on and having almost the foresight, or that I keep going back to this word resilience, because you know, for most young people, I think back to me now, you know, I'm 46. If you know, getting up that early and going and doing something because you just love the process and you know, you love the people that you're with, I think there's something beautiful in that. And it's like it was the process and the development and the incremental growth that was important to you, rather than, you know, whether you came home with the prize or not, or you placed.
Yeah. And I think what was interesting, because when I got to college, by my junior and senior year of college, I was like one of the top performers on the team. And I think it was because I failed so miserably at the beginning of it. Like I really went through the process of understanding the craft of speaking and realizing that there's a lot to learn, and speaking is one of those things that you can always be improving on. Like, I don't care if you're the speaker who's making $50,000 per keynote speech, there's always something you can improve on in your speaking to make it just that much better for the audience. So I always approach it like that. Like, how can I make this even better?
That reminds me of one of my many past roles is when I used to work in local government. Worked in corporate as well, but when I worked in lo local government, one of my roles was I was part of the team who booked the speakers for events. We didn't have them very often because it was local government. We didn't have huge budgets and things like that. But so once a year, we would usually get a speaker in, and he was the European Business Speaker of the Year that year, or he had been the year before or something. And he was great. He really was. He was great, super, super engaging. And it was my job to kind of take him from the really crappy little room we had set aside for him to kind of get ready and walk him down to the really crappy conference area that we had, which was, the converted hall, and talking to him, and he was setting up a digital recorder in before the days where, we all had them on our phones, so he could record his speech. And I said, "Oh, why are you doing that?" And he says, "I record every speech I do, and then I listen back to it on the car or on the train on the way home, and I make notes about how I can make it even better next time." Maybe that's how you get to be European Business Speaker of the Year.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's just, yeah, being so one of the things that annoys me about speaking sometimes is you can tell that there are some speakers who've just done a first draft of their speech and that's what they go up on stage with. And it's really obvious. And it's like, oh, you just want to do this for the external. You're not doing this for the love of the craft. And I think for me, it's a lot about the love of the craft and really like enjoying it. And like, I love playing with words. I mean, that's one of the things I get to do with my clients is I get to play with their words, and I do really look at it. It's like this game, and it's fun for me to think about different turns of phrase or different ways to say something or different metaphors to use to get my point across. So I love that process. And I know a lot of speakers probably do not love that process, which is probably why they also hire me.
Oh, I feel that all of that is so. Thank you for sharing that, because I love, and please take this the right way, I love it when people nerd out on what they do because they've got such a love for it that you can just see it bubbling over, and that comes across so much. That passion is just infectious.
Thank you.
So that oh, thank you. I love that. I love that. So when you then so you started this blog because you were challenged by a friend. What it was, tell me a bit about that.
So a friend of mine, we were having dinner one night, and he's like, you have this great talent for communication. He's like, you know so much about it because you have a PhD. And he's like, why aren't you doing anything with that? Like, you should be doing something with that. And he's like, I don't care what you do. He's like, start a blog, just do something with that knowledge. And I was like, huh. And a couple months later, I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to start a blog. I'm going to see how it goes. And much like my speaking, it was terrible when I first started because I'm an academic and I used to write like an academic, which is very dry and boring and technical and good for insomnia. And so, like, learning how to find my voice as a blogger and a writer was definitely a switch, but it happened because I just really keep at things.
Yeah, tenacity is one of your things. Like, yeah, clearly. But that's great because it sounds to me like you have a love of not just the process, but it's almost like you're challenging yourself. It's like that external validation isn't nearly as important to you as that internal, how can I make this better next time?
Yeah. Finding that kind of edge of, because if I can't find the edge anymore, this is what happened in corporate. Like, corporate was so boring to me because after I learned how to do something, I was like, oh, now I can do that really easily. It's like, oh, I have now it's boring. And so I'm always like, yeah, like, what's the edge here? Like, how can I challenge myself a little bit more? So having a business is perfect for that.
Oh, yeah. Constantly. Sometimes it feels like a really sharp edge that you're on. You're running a business. But so you have this blog and you're working on this blog. How did that then evolve into it might be worth just kind of sharing the type of work that you now do with people, the kind of services that you have, because it's very different from just having a blog.
Yes, yes. So I work one-on-one with people almost exclusively because I tried doing group programs and stuff and it was good, but I hate launching. And I was like, if I'm going to scale, I need to figure out a different way to do this. So I went back and doubled down on my one-on-one work. So I help people like craft their three-word rebellion, write their speech, figure out their marketing, like, and how to talk about what they do in their marketing. I do some pricing and positioning work for speakers. So, and then, you know, I also help people like figure out systems to get speaking gigs and all of that kind of stuff. Like, how can I research? How can I develop relationships? That kind of thing. But really, my focus is all like, you need to have a good message first that people want to hear before you start getting out there and trying to get speaking gigs. Because I've had some crazy questions in the past where people are like, I don't know what I speak on, but I want to pitch myself. So how do I do that? And I'm like, you don't?
Yeah.
I'm like, that seems really backwards to me that you really want to be on stage in front of people influencing them, but you don't know what you want to talk about.
Yeah, it's kind of very back to front. I guess for everything that you were saying, it's almost like it's coming from the wrong place.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So I had this epiphany that I think is important to share. So at the end of 2017, I was wrapping up my podcast, The Rebel Speaker, and I was thinking about like, what am I going to talk about? Because I have been talking about speaking, whether it's the blog or the podcast, for 6 years. And I was really at the point where I'm like, I am so sick of talking about how to get paid for speaking, how to book gigs, all of that, because it just, it's so soul sucking on some level. And I know people need the information, they need the practicalities of it, but it also felt like it was, like it was coming from a very wrong place of what I thought could be marketable. So I took some time over the holidays and I was like, where am I going with this? And that really led me to like why I started the business in the first place. And it is that core belief that communication changes the world. Like, that is my why. I believe if you can communicate your message, you can make change, you can make a difference, and you can do it on a large scale. And as soon as I went back into that, I was like, oh, you know what? I also really am into like social movements and seeing how social movements grow and develop and what can we learn from that and apply to speaking. And that has just kind of shifted my whole focus because, if you want to know how to get paid speaking gigs, I can definitely direct you to a blog post or podcast that I've had in the past. And now I'm really talking to people who want to build something bigger than themselves, that really want, who are starting from that place of, I want to make a difference first. And then I know the profit comes in. So I'm like, yeah. So it's kind of this idea of like profit through impact, right? Like you go out to make the difference and then the money will come. And so that has been like a huge shift in my business. And I feel like everything is changing where I'm just like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be about. And like, that's when the three-word rebellion came about. Like all of these pieces have fallen together because I went back to that place of like, what is the why? What's the intention here? And when I did that, things started to shift and fall into place. And I wasn't worried anymore about like, oh, people are going to say it's so fluffy if I talk about the fact that I believe communication changes the world. Because when I started talking about it, people are like, yeah, totally. Like if you change the way you communicate, you change your relationship even. You like you can impact and influence so many. So that's kind of the big shift I've gone through to get back to that place of what's my intention here? And it's just not all about like making money. And, you know, I still want my speakers to get paid, but it's not, that's not the primary thing to like book speaking gigs and get paid. It's really to use those vehicles in order to spread your message, make a difference, make an impact.
Oh, love that. I love that. So one of the questions that I ask all my guests is, what is your why? And you just, the passion as you talked about it, that kind of, because it could change the freaking world if we, you know, if we use this in the right way, it is powerful. And I think that there is something like a missed opportunity sometimes with the power of our communication.
Yeah. And I think people have undervalue how powerful that is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as I've been thinking about the three-word rebellion in the book, like one of the things I've realized the speaking industry has done is it really has devalued speakers into commodities who are like fighting for these speaking gigs, speaking for free, you know, they're interchangeable, it doesn't matter. And it's really demoted them into this, like, I mean, they're basically like milk, right? There's a you go to the grocery store and there's a billion milk options, but you still get milk at the end of the day. And that's really what speaking to me has kind of felt like. And part of my mission is really elevating that speaker to be the leader and to think about like, what if everyone acted on your message? What if they did that? What would the world be like? How would things change in your industry, in society, if people actually did what you want them to do?
And how much more conscious, therefore, would we have to be with the message that we were putting out there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So instead of maybe repeating things that we've heard or just kind of going, yeah, that's kind of what everybody says or whatever. But yeah, actually thinking, what do I want people to feel differently about or do differently or, you know, as a result of what I'm putting out there, my message. That's huge.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And when people get that, when they're like, well, I love it when I'm on the phone with clients and I ask that question and they're like, oh, whoa. Like if people did that, it would change so much. Like they would, you know, like they would get stuff done. They would put their work out. They would, you know, they would feel more empowered or it would change. You know, I have one client who is in the education industry and she's like, oh my gosh, my teachers would be performing better in the classroom and students would be getting better educations and they would be more productive in society and just think about what that would do. And it's just like, it's really cool to snowball it and see the potential of your message and how it can change things for people when you approach it like that and not like, eh, I need to get paid for this or I, you know, I want to build my business with speaking or selling from the stage or any of the other messages that are out there about speaking that aren't from that place of like, I've got something to share and it is meaningful and impactful and it can make a difference to people. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that is a different place from like how I'm going to sell my course or my like books or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So I talk a lot with my clients. We talk a lot on this podcast about, you know, what it means to have a meaningful business and the difference it makes when you put the why, your why, at the center of the work that you do. Because then I find that a lot of the personal stuff that we have around, oh, who am I to be doing this? And yeah, you know, all that inner critic stuff, and, you know, particularly as women, kind of how we're kind of conditioned to, you know, I talk a lot about feminine conditioning and how our conditioning, both in the way that we're generally raised, but also those subtle messages that society gives us. It's all about staying small, not taking up space. And we can embody that so much that if you can put your why at the center of it, it kind of leapfrogs all of that stuff, because it becomes something about something bigger than us as individuals.
Yeah.
It's about, yes, how can we be, what can the impact of this message be on other people? And in a weird way, it kind of takes us in a, well, it takes a spotlight off ourselves, but in a weird way, it's like what you're saying, like totally flips that kind of speaker dynamic of, you know, the person who just wants to be on stage and having the applause. It's like, yeah, there's no point in doing that. That's like a hollow thing. What do you want to do with that position? What do you want to do with that power?
Yeah, what do you want to do with that influence? Because speaking is super powerful. And if people can really embrace it beyond like, what can this do for me and my business? I think that is when you see a shift, when you see speakers like one of my favorite, like I'm obsessed with this speaker. Her name's Mel Robbins. She does the 5 second rule, and her whole speech is literally about counting down backwards from five and then taking an action to get people out of procrastination and stuckness.
I've seen her TED talk. It is very funny.
Oh yeah. She is fantastic. And the one thing I've noticed about her is how devoted she is to the change she wants to create for people, and how she wants to spread that message. And she is devoted to the people who follow her. Like, if you look at her Twitter feed, she's like tweeting back to people and asking them how things worked out when they used the 5 second rule, or, you know, commenting on posts on Facebook about it or Instagram. Like, she is devoted to those people who are following her. And I think that's such a, what's the word? Like, it's such the right place to come from. And at this point in time, she probably has a multi-million dollar speaking business. Like, she was the most booked female speaker last year. And she just comes from this place of like, I need to spread this message because I know it's going to change people. And I am devoted to those people I want to change.
I love that word, devotion. Being devoted to your message and the impact that it can have. That's gorgeous.
Yeah, because it is just this level of devotion. And the speakers who are really successful are not just, you know, giving a speech on the stage and then walk away. They really view it as this opportunity to change their audience and then be devoted to those people who heard the message.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Oh, what amazing work you do.
Thank you. It is. I love talking about this.
So another question that I ask people on the podcast. Oh, sorry. There's my dog. She normally makes an appearance in pretty much every episode.
Because that's how dogs are.
Yeah. So if I could give you a magic wand right now, and with that magic wand, you can change anything in the world, what would it be? What would you do with that magic power?
So there's part of me that kind of says, I would change the U.S. political system as it currently stands in the leadership, because that is creating a lot of chaos. But other than that,
a lot of listeners to this podcast would agree with you there as well.
Yes. I think what I would love to see for people is to realize how powerful they are and how powerful their work is in this world, and that it is worthy of getting on stage and talking about. And even if you don't want to be speaking, it's worthy of getting on Facebook Live. It's worthy of doing a webinar. It's worthy of showing up at your local networking event and just talking about it and telling people about it from that place of like, this is so good, I have to share it. Because if they can get to that point of this is so good, I have to share it, then the rest just comes. And that's what I want for people to realize, just how powerful they are.
That's gorgeous. I love that. I love that. Thank you. I love that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time out today.
Oh, yeah.
To talk to me. And to share all of this juicy wisdom that you have. I don't want to let you go before. I don't want to let you go full stop. But I have to let you go because we both have businesses to run. But where can people connect with you? What have you got going on at the moment? If somebody realizes that they do have this big message that they want some help translating and communicating, where can they find out more about you? Give us the goods. How can people get more of Michelle Mazur?
So, I would say three places I will tell you about is the first thing is my website, drmichellemazur.com, is kind of the hub for all my work and all of what I do. Within the next few months, I'll be releasing, well, I'm doing a workshop on my three-word rebellion, but in the next couple of months, I will have like a PDF for people to download because I want to get that in the hands of as many people as possible. I also have a Facebook group called The Rebel Speaker, and you can find that. Just type Rebel Speaker into the search bar and it will come right up. And I hang out a lot in there. It's a great place for community, for speakers who don't feel like they fit in the speaking industry. It's kind of the place for them. And also, we talked about that one tangible result. I do have a whole guide on figuring out like what results should you be giving in your speech? What's that transformation and what's the right transformation for you and your business? And you can find that at drmichellemazur.com/result.
Fantastic. I'll put all of that in the show notes. It's been brilliant. It's been lovely, lovely talking to you. Our paths have kind of circled around each other for a while, and I'm just tickled pink that I got to talk to you and dive in to
this
stuff.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I've so enjoyed our conversation.
Yeah, me too. Take care, and I'll speak to you soon. Thanks for listening to the Meaningful Business Podcast with me, Jo Casey. If you want to know more about how you can grow your meaningful business, then head over to meaningfulbizacademy.com. That's meaningfulbizacademy.com. Here you'll find all of the details of the academy, including masterclasses, courses, co-working opportunities, member discounts, how you can get free coaching, exclusive meditations to help build your confidence and bust through those mindset blocks, and a whole lot more. That's meaningfulbizacademy.com, and I'll speak to you soon.